Can we say amen and praise God real quick?
Amen.
I always get so blessed. Abby Ford, you know you do that. And then now Lexi Thomaston showed up and showed out. So praise God. Thank you, praise team, for what you brought for us this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Over the last 2 weeks, Pastor Monty has been preaching. I think it's 3 weeks. He's been preaching in a series he's calling Gym Work. And he's going through the book of James. We are going through the book of James. And if you have not been here, if you have not heard all of these messages, I encourage you, go on our website, therockworships.com, or go to our YouTube channel, which is The Rock Community Church, and listen to those messages. I promise you, you will be blessed. Anytime you take a few weeks to get through the first chapter of James, it's going to be some good stuff. If I could get you guys to come down on me just a little bit, yeah, I feel like I have that Don Cornelius, Barry White booming voice, and it's overwhelming the system. It's overwhelming the system. Yeah, unfortunately, the younger people, y'all might not know who I'm talking about if I say Don Cornelius. Today, I'm going to continue this series in Gym Work. And one of the things that I do want to emphasize is honoring our fathers today. Will you join me in prayer? And then we will go before the Lord and try to hear what he has to say if I don't mess it up. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you right now, Lord God. We're in your presence. As we sang just a minute ago, our praise will ever be on our lips, Lord God, for you. You inhabit our praise. So we're here, Lord. We wanted to get to know you better. We know that you're always with us. We know that we don't take a step without you being present. And all we have to do is just allow you to do what you're going to do. So here we are, Lord, do what you're going to do. We praise you for being our good, good Father. I love that song. It's who you are. So be with us. Speak through me, teach through me, preach through me this morning. May we learn what you have for us. And then not just say, oh, what a great word, but Lord God, can we go walk it out knowing that it came from you. As always, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I do have a reservation at Zaxby's this morning, so I'm going to be clock watching and making sure that I get there on time. If you haven't had their kicking chicken sandwich, then I don't know what you're waiting for. If you will turn with me in your Bibles, we'll go straight to our foundation passage today, which is James 1, verses 26 and 27. James chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. And the writer says, those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that our God accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. And today we're going to take just those two verses and we're going to try to pull three good lessons out of those two verses. Now, those of you who are going to continue to come back and be a part of this series, what we're going over today is important. When we move into James chapter 2, this is your foundation for that. When we go over to James chapter 4, this is your foundation for that. James is setting up the rest of his letter to the scattered Jews. And so please lean in on that. The first lesson that we want to learn is found in verse 26. I want you to notice that James says, those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues, deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. They deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Let that marinate. He's just come off of verses 22 through 25, where he talks about, don't be like a man who looks at himself in the mirror and then walks away forgetting what he saw. No, you look into the Word, you look at yourself, you let God talk to you, and then you make those changes. He said, don't just be hearers of the Word and so deceive yourself. He says, no, be doers of the Word. Make those changes. And then he says that if you can't rein in your tongue, if you can't control what comes out of your mouth, your religion is worthless. What's he talking about religion there? Your acts of good deeds. So you're out there and you're feeding the hungry or the homeless. You're mending the ill. You're building shelters for the homeless. And that's all wonderful. But then you turn around and what comes out of your mouth, it almost nullifies all the good that you're doing. People are watching what you do, but they're also listening to what you say. This has been a great week for me. I have spent, with the exception of Tuesday, every single day since last Sunday in some type of church service Bible study. And I just felt like God was speaking to me every single day, really preparing for this message, because you don't want to know all the stuff I had planned, but I had to yield to him, right? Last night at one of the services, I've been at this camp for this church down in Bradley. And we come out, and it was a great, 3 days, 3 nights, and every night there was good word. And I come outside, and this 17-year-old young man is having words with this grown man, and it's one of those where, they may start actually fighting. It took me a second to kind of realize that it was real. I thought maybe they were joking around, but it took me a second to realize, no, this is real. This is happening right in front of me. And one of my first thoughts was, man, isn't that just like the enemy? Here we've been here this whole 3 days, and God has really been showing up, and we're finished. Now, the pastor said, hey, this has been a great time, we'll see y'all back next year. So we're done, right? And we can't get outside, and the enemy is already trying to grab tongues. And this is what we're talking about, reigning in your tongue. You can feel a certain way, but that doesn't mean it has to come out of your mouth. And so I was stuck in this moment, and the young man was gone. Like, he was gone. Fortunately, there was another young man kind of holding him back. And that other young man kept saying, hey, it's all right. Calm down. You're going to be all right. The older gentleman was instigating. And I was thinking, all he has to do is not say anything. Think about that. All the older grown man, he looked like he was old enough to be the guy's father. All he had to do was not say anything. Just let the young man, get whatever he's got in him out. Because sometimes when people are saying whatever they're saying, it has nothing to do with the moment. It has things to do with stuff you may not even be thinking about. And so we have to be willing to rein in our tongue. And that blew my mind that I was standing there in that moment last night. I've had opportunity to be a part of many football teams. And you can look at me and tell I wasn't playing. But I got to be the chaplain, the character coach for these teams. And one team, the head coach, it was a big deal for him to have us there. He was always, hey, we want you here. Yeah, he let us travel with him. We did everything with him. But one of the things that he did was he would have some of the most profanity-laden, when he would get upset, it would just be all kind of stuff coming out of his mouth, I would have to go wash, when he was done talking. It was, and the thing is, when that happens, it almost doesn't matter that you're saying, oh, I'm this person of God, because what you're saying and what you're doing, they're not matching. And we're going to learn over in James chapter 3 that what you say, that's important. You have to be able to tame the tongue. And since we can't, we must then allow the Spirit of the Lord to do that. And this coach, he wouldn't do that. You know, and when he went on to his next school, I asked a buddy of mine who was the still there as the chaplain. I said, hey, you know, how's it going now that, you know, that coach is gone? He was a good coach for the school, so he moved up. He didn't just move out. And he said, you know, you can tell the difference. It's just a lot calmer. People are not on pins and needles. Listen to me. What comes out of your mouth, it matters. It doesn't matter if you can quote the Bible, if you walk around and you're feeding the homeless and all that. It confuses people when how you speak to people is different from how you are supposedly living your life. What you say, it matters. We must be able to rein in our tongues. Let me contrast that coach with two other coaches that I'm sure you know. One of them is Tony Dungy. Tony Dungy, he's not that coach that's yelling and whooping and hollering. In fact, he's very calm. And there were many people that said, oh, you can't do that. You're not going to be able to be successful doing that. Tony Dungy was successful at the highest level. And he never was a coach that was berating, putting down, cursing, yelling. He always reined in his tongue. I was at something called the Coach's Timeout. It was in conjunction with Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And it was up in the, is it Holly in the Hills or Mission? Okay, I was there. And this guy stood up and he said, I played for Tony Dungy and I played for Bill Belichick. He said, I would do anything, you know, he said, I would run through walls for Bill Belichick. I would run through a wall for Bill Belichick. He said, but I would die for Tony Dungy. The significance of reining in your tongue, being able to control how you talk to people and letting that match how you're going to live your life for Christ, it matters. It makes a bigger difference. Herm Edwards, I don't know if you guys know him. He's currently the head coach, and it's ironic. He's the head coach of the Arizona State Sun Devils. The reason why I say that that's ironic is because there's a television show, a sports talk show, that he would not go on because of the name of the show. It was on Fox. John Sally and Tom Arnold used to be the host. You can look it up if you want to. But he would not go on that show because of the title of the show. That's how important it is to Herm Edwards to make sure the words coming out of his mouth match the man of God that he is trying to be. We must rein in our tongues. We have to keep a tight rein on what we say. What we say has to match what we believe and who we say we are in Jesus Christ. So as we turn to our next lesson, I want to tell you about a conversation I had recently with one of my brothers, Michael. He lives over in, I don't know if it's Wesley Chapel or Zephyr Hills or Dade City. He lives over in that area. And we were talking, and he said, I'm not going, I probably won't go to church next week on Father's Day. And, you know, I said, hey, you know, what's up? And he said, well, every time for Mother's Day, we go in, there's a Mother's Day service, and they talk about how great the moms are and how, you know, we need to honor our moms and moms do this and that. And he said, it's always a beautiful service. He said, but when the Father's Day service comes, it's always, you know, oh, we got these absentee dads and dads, you need to do better and dad this and that. And so I had to kind of ease down a little bit. Because the original title of this message was, Where Are All the Good Fathers? And so So that's probably why God had me in church the whole week. The whole week, right? Because I needed to be surrounded by his word and to be reminded that there are so many great fathers. There are so many great fathers out there. And so I changed the message, and when I'm not going to talk about where the good fathers are. Let's move over to verse 27a, the beginning of verse 27. And Paul or James writes, "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this." Let me help you understand. Religion, remember, acts, these acts of your what you're doing for the Lord. That is the religion we're talking about, that outward display of your love for God. He says, it's this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress. We're just going to focus on that for right now. To look after orphans and widows in their distress. If we look at this verse, we're going to see something that Danny said earlier today, and that is the Father is important. And I believe that we, as a church and as a society, have forgotten the importance of the Father, which is why my brother last week was making the statement that he made. You know, the Father is so important. Understand, I'm not saying more important. You're not going to hear me say more important, because he's not. He's just important. The Father is so important that we read this passage and you missed it. You didn't mean to miss it. You was trying to get it, but you missed it. Let's read it again. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress. What do orphans and widows have in common? There's no positive male role model there. There's no father, there's no husband. How do we know that the Father is important? Because James did not say to look after children and women. If the Father was not important, if the Father was not so significant, he would have easily said to look after children and women, but he didn't say that. God is looking for us to make sure that when a father is not present, there's a male, there's somebody coming, hey, come in there, help that child. When a husband is not present, there's a male, come in there, help that woman, help that person. This is what God is looking for. This is how we can understand, wait a minute, those fathers must be important. And so we cannot diminish the Father, and we do that. The struggle I had, y'all don't even want to know the conversations that I've been having with myself and with the Lord the whole week, you know, I found myself saying, wait a minute, you can't, that's just you going on a tirade, and I didn't want to do that. So I had so many conversations. Why? Because I'm thinking about the number of times, okay, Lord, I'm going to hold my tongue as best I can. I need you to hold it for me, but can I just say this one little thing, please, in the name of Jesus? Listen, ladies, pick up your toes, pick up your feet, can you? I don't want you to get your toes stepped on. I can't tell you the number of times that I hear wives and moms, you know, talking negative about their spouses and the father of their kids in front of other people, just putting them down, you know, and sometimes right in front of him. What does verse 26 say? We got to keep a tight rein on our tongue. It's okay to be upset at your husband. It's okay to be upset at your kid's father. But in front of other people is not the time to make that known. And this diminishes the importance of the Father. Let that marinate. Thank you, Jesus. Listen to me. You cannot put that Father down even one time and think it's going to be okay. It will never be okay because you're so focused on the physical putting him down, you're forgetting that the battle is not physical. It's not against flesh and blood. It is against the spiritual areas. The battle is against the enemy. It's not against physical. So when you put that Father down, the enemy says, all right, I got a hook. Thank you, so-and-so. Thank you for giving me that hook. And so now, when you're not there, you minding your own business. You're over there at Bath and Body Works or Bed Bath and Beyond, or you at Kohl's, you somewhere minding your own business, shopping for him, and he's somewhere, and the enemy is working on him. You remember that time that she said, blah? If you don't open your mouth and say it, the enemy can't use it. He can only use what you say. The enemy is not like the Lord. The enemy is not like the Lord. The enemy only knows what you put out. That's it. He doesn't have that level of power. God does. And so when we're talking about keeping a tight rein on your tongue, you want to have, oh, thank you, Jesus. You want to have that husband, that father of your kids, that you look over and you see so-and-so, man, he's so this and that, you know. He must be perfect. I never hear her saying anything negative about him. Let that marinate. You understand? Did you guys get that? It's a reason why he's that and you never heard that. Oh, let me move forward. Let me put this next slide up. Both mothers and fathers are important. Come on. Yeah, get that up there. I don't want them to think I was saying anything different. Thank you, Lord. Both mothers and fathers are important in the family structure. Wives, honor your husband. Regard them. Respect them. This is what Paul says. Why? Because he already knows you love him. You say some of the things you say, honestly, out of love. I'm just trying to help him. I just want him to be better. Men, love your wives. All right, I'm going to help y'all out, ladies. Men, if you'll listen to your wives a little bit more, they won't have to resort to saying stuff out in public. Sometimes they feel like that's the only thing they can do. He's not listening to me. I did say it in private. Maybe if he hears me say it publicly, he'll know it's real. I got some claps, man. So listen, the father is important. In God's family structure, the father is important. Don't underestimate that. The enemy is on the attack, and he is getting the fathers. Look at these numbers here. Is that my next slide, Leah? Oh, man, y'all can y'all see that? Okay, because I can't see it from the back. This is off of Idols Aside's website. If you go on Idols Aside website, you'll see these numbers. These are the statistics of fatherlessness. When I tell you that fathers are important, it's not just words. It's not just me as a father trying to build up the fathers. No, it is me trying to help you understand that the father is so important that the enemy would take his good time and attack that entity. And so we have a fatherless epidemic. I'm a history teacher. You know what happened in the Great Depression? Men left their homes. They committed suicide or they became hobos, jumped on trains, and went west. The enemy is smart because he attacks the Father. If he can attack the Father, he can create this mess. And he is on the attack. And I don't know if I'm allowed to say this in church, but for right now, he's winning. That ain't what you want to hear in church, not on Father's Day. The Father is important, and we have too many great fathers out here for us to have an epidemic of fatherlessness. This is not a message of where are the good fathers. I'm telling you they're out here. But we got to, now we just need to continue to do what we're doing. So let's help Idols Aside Ministry. Not just financially, take your time and go have whatever you can do. I work with their basketball program. I already want to coach basketball, so he doesn't have to work hard for me to step in and help them. Where can you go? Go help them. We got too many great fathers out here, and you're far too important. Let me give you this last story of how important a father is. Years ago, I was teaching Sunday school, and I have told this story before, so I'm going to speed this part of it up. I was teaching Sunday school, and we gave this scenario to this young lady. It was three scenarios. She had a car accident. The first scenario, her father came to her in the hospital and said, you know, I'm glad you're okay. I love you. We're gonna get a rental car, and you'll be able to drive the rental car. But first, you're going to have to pay off some of the copayment or the deductible. The next one, the father called her at the hospital and said, oh, I'm so sorry, you know, that this happened to you. And don't worry, we're going to get a rental car and you'll be okay. You know, just get whatever one you want. And you know, I'm sorry this happened to you. The third father came in and he was beside himself. What were you thinking? How could you wreck the car? And now we're going to have to rent a car and I'm not letting you drive that car. And so we said, rank each father 1 to 10. She said the first father was an 8. I said, an 8? She said, you know, yeah. She said the second father, she rated him a 2. I said, a 2? And then the third father, she rated him a 5. I thought she was going to rate the third father like a 1. And so I asked her. She said, well, the first father, you know, he was teaching me responsibility. You know, yeah, I am the one that wrecked the car. So not being able to drive the car, yeah, I was okay with that. But I'm thinking, well, what about the second father? He's going to let you have the car and, you know, you don't have to worry about anything. She said, yeah, but he didn't come to the hospital. He didn't come see me. He called me, but he didn't come. And so I said, well, the third father, he was yelling at you and you're not going to be able to have a car. She said, yeah, but he came to the hospital. That's how important fathers are. And I've never forgotten that. That was years ago. It was like 2000. So it's like 20 some years ago. I still remember that because it struck me. That's how important fathers are. And so let's go to our last point. You know, once we understand the importance of the father, then we have to be careful to speak positively about our fathers. And then notice in verse 27b, as he finishes up, after he says, taking care of the widows and the orphans, he says, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So we understand that we need to keep a tight rein on our tongues. We realize that fathers are important. Now we got to look different from the world. We cannot be polluted by the world. Paul says it like this. He says, be transformed. He said, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. If you want to walk like God wants you to walk, you cannot look like the world. If you look just like the world, you're doing it wrong. You should look different. People should look at your life and always have a little question mark. Why are they so different? Why do they do it that way? Prayerfully, in a positive way. But you should look different. You know, when we go and we watch you live out your daily life, there should be a difference in how you move about the people and how the people move about the people. This is why Paul writes, always be prepared to give a reason for the hope. Right? Think about that. If you have to give a reason for the hope that's in you, people have to see that hope. They have to see something different. You have to look different from them. You can't be polluted by the world. You can't be trying to look like them, walk like them, talk like them, you know, do the up-to-date TikTok dance like them. You have to be different. If you will do this, then we will start to see a change. We're always talking about how there needs to be a change. We need this, we need that, right? We're always talking about that in the church. But we have to take the first steps. We have to make sure that what we say matches our religion. We have to remember the importance of the father and the family. And we cannot look like the world. If you put that last slide up there, Leah, or second to Leah. So this is what I want you to walk away from here today. That's my marination pause. I felt like it worked. I felt you guys marinating on that. Like I said, I got an appointment at Zaxby's today. I got a kicking chicken sandwich that's waiting on me. So this is about as fast as I can preach. So if you ever think it's going to be quicker than this, it's probably not. But if we can get the praise team to come back up, will you let that marinate? Will you, even now, as you sit where you are, ask God, Father, point out in me those areas of my life that do not honor you. Show me where I need to control my tongue more. Show me how I can honor my father. Show me how I can make sure I don't look like the world. Would you do that for me, Lord? And he'll do it. We have a shameless plug. We have something coming out tomorrow called Monday Motivation. And I put it on Instagram and I put it on my Facebook page. And the person that's speaking is Miss Florida, the current Miss Florida. She'll be giving up her title a week from yesterday. And she says, if you pray the dangerous prayer of Father, show me areas in my life, strip them away, anything that's not pleasing to you, she said, he's going to hear you and he's going to show up and he's going to strip those areas away. But won't you pray that dangerous prayer? Father, show me the areas in my life where I need to be more like your son, Jesus Christ, and then will you start stripping away everything that isn't like him? Would you do that so that you can live out this James 1, 26 through 27 life? Because the world will see it, and God will begin to make changes in their hearts. Would you pray with me? Father, 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 thank you. Lord God, we come before you right now and we pray. Praying for each and every person that's in this room, online, and even those who will be watching this at a later date. Doesn't matter when. Lord, will you move upon them now as they allow as you stand and knock, I pray that they would open the door of their heart. Would you give them that courage to open the door of their heart, Lord? I thank you, Father, for what you're already doing. Now, Lord God, we pray for our team that is on Eagle Rock right now. Lord God, that they have a church today, and then they're going to prepare and get ready for a week of serving you. And I pray, Lord God, we pray that that will be their number one priority, is to serve you. And may that be our priority as well. Give them safe travels back when the week ends, Lord God, and that we can be reunited with our body and hear the great stories of what you are doing up there in this time. As always, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.